Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live, pal.
Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the A-Side Live Chat. We're just 1 hour. We're starting 1 hour late, but that's just this week. We'll be back to our normally scheduled time moving forward. It's a special day this Wednesday in the middle of March. Yeah, it's the middle of March. But anyway, I'm Jose Young with MMA Fighting. I am your host, of course. Joining us this week is Casey on the ones and twos per usual. And making his return, how would I describe him? Not the Between the Links champion. Jed Meshew. That's how I would describe him.
I mean, that's fair. I'm not. I'm just the greatest of all time. Also, because you didn't mention it, it is a very important Wednesday. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
That's how I was going to end it, but you take the shine right out, man. You want to kick it off, but sure. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, dog. Way to be a... What are you? You're the worst Chirish ones and twos in MMA.
I am Chirish for everyone out there. You know, I'm half. I got half that blood in me. So when Connor walks out, he's fighting for me, half of me. I have three red hairs in here. It's pretty awesome.
And he's fighting for a quarter of me because I am, as Conor McGregor once described me, a Hispanic Celt. Because apparently my last name is very Irish. Shout out to my homies in Westmeath, Ireland. Anyway, you guys know the drill. You're what?
I have no Irish in me. But I'm from Savannah, so I'm just going to claim it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to Binnigan's tonight. Is Binnigan's still around? You remember Binnigan's? The restaurant?
No.
Order a Monte Cristo. Am I dating myself here?
What is that, from the 70s? Did you watch Sputnik? Were you talking about Sputnik when you went to Binnigan's?
Yeah. You know, we're like, ah, that Nixon.
Right? Anyway, you guys know the drill. If you want to ask Casey about his time when he watched Sputnik or where he was when JFK got assassinated, you can ask those questions. Or you can ask Jed and I MMA questions. Hit us with whatever you want in the comments, the Twitters, the MMA sites. You guys know the drill. Casey, what is our first question?
We got a lot of insult. I'm not sure.
I have a real quick question first. How come you and I have full names and Jed is just Jed?
I don't know. I just like the way you looked.
I only need the one. Everyone knows me.
The guy's like Madonna. It's Jed. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh. I got
How many Jeds are there in this space?
Yeah.
Like Sting or Prince, he's just Jed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good work, Casey.
Thank you.
That's fair. If you get a law degree, you can go by just your first name. Suzanne on the YouTube comments. This is what Ben Askren would have looked like if he straightened his hair. Is he talking about you, Jed? Is she talking about you, Jed?
I assume.
Look, Brian Ortega shaved his hair off, so I'm coming for the best flow in the game title. Like, I'm working on it. We're not there yet. Give it time.
Who's number one now that Brian's...
Ooh, that's a really good question. Shaving.
These are the questions we have on the A-Side live chat.
What was the question?
Who has the best hair in MMA now that Brian Ortega went bald and ugly?
Best hair in MMA.
Benson Henderson's always had some luscious locks.
I'm ready for Benson to cut his hair. I mean, I get it. It's part of his thing, but I don't know. I just think you got to change things up, Benson. What about Kyler Phillips? He's kind of – I mean, I know he cornrows it when he's fighting, but
– So did Brian.
Blowing. Yeah.
That might be a good one.
I think underrated hair, Dustin Poirier has some real nice hair, even though it's short.
He keeps it high and tight.
Yeah, man. It's a good haircut.
Yeah, very, very solid. I respect Dustin's entire, like, his physical transformation from, like, being kind of a grungy little kid to, like, a really clean-cut professional. It's good work.
He also lasered off the tattoo on his stomach. I want to know what the story is with that.
I'd never noticed that before, but okay.
These are the things I notice. Best hair in MMA, question mark? Yeah, you tell us.
Yeah, we're,
Paul Felder's got some good. Paul Felder and Alan Jouban have some good hair, but that's like broadcasting hair.
Yeah, Jouban does have good hair. That Jouban actually might be my call for that.
Angie has good hair too, the big afro.
That's good. Fair. I have to think about this, guys. This is like, yeah, let's just for the next like 20 minutes, just kind of sit in silence and just kind of think about this.
That good radio?
Yeah. Right, Aljamain's got that high top fade. That's always a fun one. Looks like an eraser.
I got to think of one more. I know we have to be missing a good one before we scoot off this. Come on, Casey. Don't let me.
Come on, Casey. Everyone is saying Kyler Phillips in the comment section.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, he's a good choice.
I mean, but I think it's easy choice. I think it's just. I mean, he's like the more. He has the most luscious hair, I guess.
Sure.
True.
All right, Kyler, so you
is
win.
Is Kyler Phillips Kyler with Kyle with an R or Tyler with a K?
Ooh. Oh, I don't know. But what about Masvidal? How do we feel about Masvidal?
Oh yeah. Street Jesus hair.
It's long. It's flowy.
It's long.
No, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. It goes to this vibe.
Yeah, we got Drew Dober. Drew Dober. No, but now we're just talking jawlines. It's just handsome. I'm talking hair, people.
Holly Holm's got some real long hair.
I was gonna mention Holly Holm. Holly, like I've watched her train. And it takes her a good 15-20 minutes before any like mid session just for her to like, kind of bun her hair up. Her hair is like told like down to the butt crack type hair. I don't know how she does it. Yeah, it's wild. That's my biggest thing. I just long hair in general. I don't know how you train with that stuff. That's wild. All right, but okay, the show's over. We're good. We answered all the big questions, guys. All right, here we go.
From Tristan Gordette on the site, Leon's options. Coming off a no contest decision over Bilal Muhammad, in your opinion, do you think the only option Leon will have as far as the next opponent is against Gilbert Burns? Since Leon won't be getting a title shot due to the fact that the UFC just booked a rematch between Masvidal and Usman on April 17th, Wonderboy is another option, but won't be ready until May. He can run it back with Bilal, but it probably won't do anything for Leon due to the lack of fan interest in running that fight back. Colby won't fight him either, where he wants the winner of Jorge versus Usman. So Usman versus Masvidal or Kamaru versus Jorge. Let's get it straight, guys. Anyway, Jed, what is Leon's options moving forward after his no contest following his stabbing? He definitely stabbed Bilal Muhammad's eye.
He's going to fight Bilal Muhammad again. Like, that's just what they're going to do. Here's the thing, right? I get Leon Edwards' point here, but this is the type of thing that if MMA was a real sport and you had, like, real handlers who taught you how to actually speak to the media and stuff, you would never say. Because it's obviously terrible optics for him to just be like, well, I know I poked that dude in the eye, but I want a title shot, so I don't really feel the need to run it back. Like, I get what he's saying because he wasn't supposed to fight Bilal in the first place. That fight functionally does nothing for him moving forward. But you just can't say that. Like, you just have to be like, yeah, we can run it back. And then behind the scenes be like, hey, guys, what if instead I just waited for Khamzat or whatever it is that they're going to do? So in the end, he's just going to fight Muhammad again. The only other option I could see is maybe if Khamzat starts to feel better and recover, maybe they just do that because that's the original intent. But beyond that, I just don't think anybody else is going to want to fight him, and he would want to accept that fight.
Casey, what's next for Leon Edwards?
Actually, I agree a lot with what Jed said. Unfortunately, Leon probably should have gave us the BS answer on the mic. Is like, it was a great fight, you know, Bahal's a great opponent. I'm really unfortunate, and I know it's running back. But as soon as the cameras are off, he's looking at the matchmakers. Nah, bro. Like, but the problem is it's not what really Leon's options are. It's like, it's really who above him or even within one or two of the rankings of him is willing to fight him.
Leon?
The only person I can think of is Gilbert Burns.
Maybe Burns and maybe Wonderboy. I'm not even confident either.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, only Burns gets coming up the loss. Yeah.
I think Wonderboy maybe if it's a number one contender fight. If Dana White comes out and says, whoever wins this fight fights Masvidal or slash.
That's the fight that's been done in the first place. Like, I know they couldn't because Leon was trying to target a December and then that got kicked back. But, like, that fight actually does make total sense as a number one contender fight and probably just what they should have defaulted to when Khamzat pulled out. But I know Leon wanted to keep fighting. Good for Bilal to get his opportunity. But now that all this is gone tits up, like, yeah, man, just do Wonderboy Leon if they'll both take it.
So where does that leave Colby?
Sitting on the sidelines, calling for a title fight he's probably not going to get.
You're not wrong.
I don't know. I read some stories that he's too busy to fight right now. Something about his balls. I don't know.
It's unclear.
It's unclear.
Oh, did you did not see the Colby interview, did you, Jose?
Is it with our friends over at Submission Radio?
Yeah.
Sure is.
It's literally on my watch next list. I was probably going to watch it sometime today.
If you just watch the first 4 minutes, you'll know the reference that was just made there. So
all right.
So
dude, let Colby fight Gilbert Burns. Those two can fight then.
Gilbert Burns hates Colby. Well, there's a lot of fighters that do, but maybe doesn't Bilal have a pretty big hatred toward Colby too?
Yes, I think a little bit of a different hatred because Colby said some things about people that Bilal Muhammad represents inside the octagon. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that might be a little heated, similar to the Tyron Woodley situation.
Well, I think Burns has similar issues too. I mean, not the same, but it's not just he's a bad training partner. I think Burns has some issues with how Colby also talks about other people.
100%.
Colby would not take a fight with Muhammad. Like, he's just not going to take that fight.
Oh, hell no.
And
honestly, so what happens? Who does Chiesa fight?
I forget that Chiesa is like a top welterweight, like all the time.
He's coming off a big win over Neil Magny in the main event.
He's been calling out Colby. You can kind of mix them up, do whatever you want there. There's kind of no wrong way to eat that Reese's.
No, you're not. The problem is, of everyone we've mentioned, almost none of them fought each other. Kamara's pretty much fought them all. They're just so stagnant in the top seven at welterweight. Anyway,
the one positive thing about Colby is that he is one of the few fighters that is willing to wait it out to get paid what he feel is his worth, and I feel at least he knows his worth in the UFC, but him just sitting out not fighting anybody, I don't know, it's just. I'm
not confident he knows his worth in the UFC.
I know. I mean, I was trying to be positive, maybe, but no, that's just not me.
Yeah, I respect that he like wants to fight for what he thinks, but like he just seems to have consistently negotiated himself out of position, which is just not optimal. But if we're trying to be positive, I'll give this to Colby. He's getting better at his shtick. Like, he's objectively getting better at it. Like, it's a lot of it's still awful or cringy, but like, he's getting better. So, 5 years into playing a character, he's starting to get the reps underneath him. Good for him.
Right.
Does it still work in 2021, though?
It might work even better, unfortunately.
Maybe. I'm not sure that it ever did work. But such that it worked, it probably.
But at least when he said something, he could point to an individual in the White House as his friend and this and that. And you know the drill, but don't know if it works anymore. Even Michael Chiesa called, though Michael Chiesa did call him out. He's like, your shtick doesn't work anymore, this and that. So if they want to build off that, have at it.
That's actually not a bad fight. They should maybe do that.
Sure. I'm about it.
I mean,
is Damian Maia ever going to fight again, too? Is he ever going to his official retirement fight? Because he's still, like, ranked, like, in the top, like, six or something.
I thought for sure he was going to get the Diego Sanchez fight.
Something's going on, too.
That's a fine fight to let him walk away on.
Diego's fighting Cowboy for his retirement. McCree Scott. So this is another commenter in the YouTube and Twitters too. On the, but he's commenting on the site this time. So Shanko and Whaley's biggest test at 261. Which champion will have the bigger test? Could both of the women's champions bouts be much better fights than Usman versus Masvidal? Which is getting top billing? I am already said Rose Whaley is going to be the most competitive fight on that card, and that's not saying Andrade is going to. I think Whaley Rose is 50-50, and I still favor Valentina, and I still favor Usman. I just have no idea what's going to happen with Whaley and Rose. But, Jed, you're already shaking your head. You're already nodding a lot of the things that were said. Yeah. What are your thoughts on 261?
I agree with you entirely. Like, Whaley Rose is awesome. That fight could go either way. I'm really interested in that fight, and I am probably the biggest Valentina Shevchenko fan, certainly at this site or anywhere, really. But – well, and like that's a great fight, but Whaley Rose, like the dynamics there are really just fascinating, because Rose has had issues with like physically imposing fighters. Andrade dumped her on her head that one time, and even in the rematch, it felt like that tide was turning at the end of that fight there. And Whaley is as physically dominant as there is in the sport over her peers, frankly. So but at the same time, like Rose is definitely a better technical striker. I'm just really fascinated in that fight. I think it's super close. The other women's fight there, Shevchenko versus Andrade, it's one of the better tests that Shevchenko can get. I think Shevchenko is going to just outclass Andrade, frankly, but I think that's still like a good competitive fight. We saw Usman Masvidal last year. It is going to be the exact same thing. I just don't think there's any substantive difference there. Both of the women's fights are much better than the welterweight title fight, which isn't to say the welterweight title fight's bad, but I'd be way more interested in that fight if Masvidal had done anything since getting beat. Like, this is just a rerun of a 50-45 card, like whatever.
Casey, I'll phrase it to you like this, though. This is going to be in Jacksonville, not in the Apex. You know what that means.
Big cage.
You're in my mind. We saw Rose versus Andrade, and right after that fight, we did the post show, and we all agreed if it was five rounds in a big cage, in a small cage, I think that clearly favors Andrade, but Rose got to keep the distance, have much more space to work. In the three-round fight, she won. Now she gets another physical opponent in Whaley. Do we all agree the big cage probably leans in the favor of Rose? Not to say that Whaley would be outclassed in this fight, but it gives maybe – it's
yes.
Small cage in favor Whaley, big cage favor Rose. But what are your thoughts on this specific question?
Well, 261 will be in the big cage as long as everything goes according to plan and the event stays in Jacksonville. I think Rose has – not that – it's enough advantage where she would definitely win this, but it's to her advantage being in the big cage. But also for the flyweight fight, I think it's to Andrade's disadvantage that is in the big cage. I think the small, if Shevchenko and Andrade was at the Apex, I would give Andrade a better chance at getting her hands on Shevchenko and putting Shevchenko on her butt and on her back, where Shevchenko has given away rounds, not got her butt kicked, not being up, but she has lost rounds by getting taken out and put against the cage. And where I think was Maya Shevchenko, was that in the Apex?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think for Rose especially, it's going to be an advantage. I think she probably has some of the best footwork in just all of MMA, to be honest, especially for her weight class. So, I'm super excited. But with the actual question, which champion have the bigger test? It's big. It's a giant, probably Whaley, but it's a giant test for both fighters. And it's the right matchup at the right time, man. I'm glad the UFC put them together. I wish Usman Masvidal wasn't on this card. I wish all the focus was just going to be on the two lady title fights. But
we didn't bring up the most important factor in all three of these fights. You realize this, right? It's the fans. They're going to be fans in the stands, guys. 20,000. I have no idea how many people are going to be in this thing, but like
in Jacksonville. Oh, my God. What a time. Did Jed freeze?
He's just thinking. Jed definitely froze.
Kevin. Hey, Jed. Jed Michoud is frozen. For whatever reason.
See if he'll.
Let me carry on without him for a sec.
Have him call back in.
We'll have him call back. He'll call back in a minute. If he doesn't, I'll chase him down with. There he is.
There you go.
Does he live?
I live. Apparently, yeah. I live. Froze.
The thought of fans in Jacksonville overrode his brain and he froze. Anyway, another question from Scott McCree. Chances Kevin Holland gets the Knicks title shot. If Kevin Holland wins impressively against Derek Brunson this weekend, do you think his chances to be the next challenger to Izzy at middleweight? Who wouldn't want to see Adesanya and Holland battling during the pre-fight buildup? How would you like Holland's chances to dethrone Izzy? A few questions. I don't think Kevin Holland beats Derek Brunson. Israel Adesanya already said he wants to fight Darren Till. He already said that Kevin Holland is way far down the line, even if he does win. So those are my answers. So not happening, not happening, not happening. Jed, your thoughts.
I think Holland is going to beat Brunson. There's no chance he is the next title challenger for Izzy. Izzy, like you said, is interested in the Till or theoretically the winner of Till Vittori. More likely, the Kelvin Gastelum Bobby Knuckles fight will probably determine the actual next middleweight challenger. So my guess is if Holland wins, he has to fight the Till Vittori winner for the next title fight after the fact. And I don't know. Like, I'd be really interested to see that fight. I'm going to pick Izzy to beat any middleweight that's not named Yoel Romero. So I wouldn't assume that he'd get that done, but I at least think he brings something interesting to the table in that possible future matchup.
I think if Darren Till and Kelvin Gastelum win, I think if Darren Till wins, he fights Israel Adesanya no matter what, especially if Kelvin Gastelum wins, considering Darren Till beat, in quotes, Darren Till, or Darren Till beat Kelvin Gastelum in New York, and that's just going to be the narrative they run with. But Israel Adesanya just gave an interview with our former colleague, Ariel Helwani, and he already said, I want Darren Till next again today. Eugene Behrman also said he wants Darren Till next. So Darren Till wins, it's going to be Darren Till.
Darren Till's ability to fail upwards is honestly the most remarkable talent in the sport. He has won, like, clear-cut one good fight in the UFC. It was Donald Cerrone. Like, he's now a middleweight and Cerrone's a lightweight. Like, he beat Wonder Boy and then he beat Kelvin Gastelum. He's lost all his other, like, high-profile fights. He is obviously not bad at fighting. That's not what I'm saying, but it is stunning to me how his career is playing out.
But he has such funny memes. I mean, I don't watch his fights, but I mean, he's a funny guy. So yeah, this is news to me actually. I think if Holland beats Derek Brunson impressively, all that matters to the UFC. They have another fighter to whoever is the challenger going to be, whoever takes the lowest bid, basically. Because I think if Holland wins, He can sell a fight, and you know, I think it'll be fine pay per view wise. Holland versus Izzy. So I'm not as negative as you guys are that Holland won't get a title shot after this. But I just think it's the UFC obviously I think wants that, and cheapest fighter will fight Izzy next.
I think the only way Kevin Holland gets a title shot if he wins is if he takes a short fight on real short notice. He's like, F it. I'll take this fight. I don't think they announce a fight with Stylebender and Kevin Holland and like a 3 months out, like a normal title fight. I think it's, and this is all worst case scenario, probably. Like if it's Adesanya Till pulls out like he's shown he's done in the last few months and Kevin Holland just steps up. I think that's the only way Kevin Holland gets a title shot soon.
Which would make absolutely sense.
That's the most likely. That's definitely the most likely. I could see it if Whitaker and Vittori win, then maybe Adesanya says, I don't want to fight these two dudes I've already beaten. And so then maybe he's like, all right, I'll go for Kevin Holland. But yeah, I think that's probably the best chance for Holland.
I also don't think I think Derek Brunson is one of the most underappreciated middleweights of the last 10 years. Like, he's got – like he, all of his losses are just – like, he definitely beat Anderson Silva. I think we can all agree on that in Brooklyn. He definitely won that fight. He was, like, 2 minutes away from beating Yoel Romero before his ribs got shattered. And then he acted a fool against Robert Whittaker.
A lot of people are 2 minutes away from beating Yoel until they don't.
Rewatch that Brunson fight. Like, everything was going his way till Yoel – did the smartest plan and did the smartest thing in the book and kicked him in the hey who
until Yoel exactly did Yoel thing.
So it's Yoel's the man. I think that and like Derek Brunson has he's been given all these like next contenders like lately, like he's on that like if you beat Derek Brunson you can contend thing, and he's beaten everyone and beating him pretty convincingly. So I think Derek Brunson is an absolutely fantastic fighter. I think he beats Kevin Holland.
When I think of Derek Brunson, I think of him a lot like how fans looked at Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson and Derek Brunson clearly are like, you know, A-level fighters, but the problem is when they lose big, and that's the memory people have. Like when Masvidal loses, you know, Masvidal has losses, but you know he loses like decisions or whatever, but Brunson and Anderson losses, like I remember them getting knocked out much more than them knocking other people out, even though they've clearly have many more wins than losses. But
they win small, lose big. That's not a bad way to put it.
Yeah.
If you look at Derek Brunson's run before he lost to Whittaker, when he just came out guns blazing, he was on how many knockouts did he have in a row? 1, 2, 3. He had 4 knockouts in a row, and he was going for the record at middleweight. Like if he had got another knockout win, that would have been the most knockout / TKO victories in a row in the history of the middleweight division, which is what the Rain Anderson had. So, and they were all were bums. Like they were over at least relatively well known fighters. And
actually, a solid run. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
And then who did he lose to? Robert Whittaker, if you watch that fight, his chin is in the air the whole time. And Casey, we interviewed him in Anaheim. And in his mind, he goes, if I knock out Robert Whittaker, I set the record and I'm probably getting a title shot. And he admits he was completely looked past Robert Whittaker. That was also in Australia. So he had like a 25 hour flight to get there. And then he definitely beat Anderson Silva. And then he beats Dan Kelly, Lyoto Machida in a combined 3 minutes and 46 seconds. Like he crushed them. And then he acted a fool against Jacare and Adesanya. And then he's beaten like 3 guys in a row. So I think Derek Brunson is a completely underappreciated middleweight.
Yeah. The problem is,
that's my 2 cents.
We're not going to get this question though, but like, what happens if Derek Brunson wins impressively, though? Is Derek Brunson just there again? I mean,
He's just there.
He'd probably get matched up. He should fight Paulo Costa if Derek Brunson wins impressively. If Paulo Costa comes back, because after Costa lost to Izzy, Derek Brunson was like, I will fight. Because Paulo Costa was calling on everyone, and Derek Brunson was like, I'll fight you tomorrow.
Brunson's been doing the whole, you know, you're a juice head thing at Costa for a while now. So, fight's due.
If Costa wants to come back because he's pulled out of this big main event fight and Brunson wins impressively, or if they want to do, if Vittori wins, which is obviously also very possible, they could do Vittori and Brunson. There's a million fights for him at middleweight.
Middleweight's
Jared Cannonier was a middleweight contender, and now he's just.
Yeah. And they shattered his arm.
Yeah.
He snapped his arm in half.
Yeah, just no longer a going concern. Fickle sport.
Does this use hall for you to read?
I got it. From Trumbo, longtime commenter. True or false? So true or false, we'll start. We'll go Jed Casey on these. The UFC books Valentina into a super fight for her next versus the winner of Zhang and Rose if she beats Andrade. True or false, Jed?
False. I think they gave her one more.
I'd say false, Casey? Too. False, too.
Yeah, same. Same. Last minute replacement, Kelvin upsets Bobby Knuckles because expectations are lower and he's able to be looser and just fight. Jed, true or false?
Is Kelvin
false? I think Kelvin actually might upset him. I don't think that any of those would be the reason why.
Casey?
I'm going to have to go up. Jed said false, but not the second part. Not because Kelvin's looser.
Yeah, I also think, like, if you interview Robert Whittaker, he is so far off the spectrum of MMA. Like, he doesn't even watch the sport at all. So I don't think he's not one to look past an opponent. Because remember, when Anderson retired, when he had his fight against Uriah Hall, we asked him for his prediction. He goes, I honestly didn't even know Anderson was retiring. I didn't even know he had a fight next week. He's like, that sounds like a fun fight, I guess. Anyway, true or false, UFC books Aldo versus Cody and Corey versus Rob Font while waiting for Sterling Yan rematch. True or false, Jed?
False. I could see the Corey Font. I think they're going to do Aldo Dominic Cruz. Maybe that's hoping they do that because that's a way better fight than feeding Aldo Cody Garbrandt.
Where does TJ Dillashaw fall in this then?
He gets a title fight. Did you not read my piece last week about how he should be title fight instead of Peter?
See, here's the problem. Casey doesn't read our articles, and AK Lee doesn't watch our videos.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Ruthless.
I say false because I think they will. I'll say true to the first, false to the second. I think they do Aldo Garbrandt and Corey Dillashaw. And Font is just, unfortunately, the fifth man out.
What's this?
Also, they're not doing this anyway because Cody's going to fight for the flyweight after thing. Askarov's not getting a title shot. Come on. they're just going to go right back to Davidson Figueiredo Cody.
How many? And then Henry Cejudo will fight all three champions in one night.
He's so good. thank you. Is he even training right now? Is he still?
He's training and he's tweeted fight news soon like three times.
So he's not. All right.
Not gonna see true or false. True or false? Amanda Nunes, I assume. Amanda Nunes fights Valentina one more time before retiring. True or false, Jed?
Ooh. True.
Casey?
I'll give that a true. I like that. I like to see that.
Just because I want to happen. True or false? Manel Cape gets cut from the UFC with another loss. Jed, true or false?
False, but it's close to being true.
Big, giant false.
I think it depends on who we lose to, but so I'll say TBD. Marvin Vettori runs through Till and fights Izzy for the belt before the end of the year. True or false, Jed?
I think he beats Till. I don't think he fights Izzy for the belt next.
So by the end of the year, though.
Yeah, I don't think Izzy's fighting like three times this year, so I'm going to say false. I do think he beats Till, but I just don't think he fights for the title this year.
I'm gonna go on and let me say true because I do think Izzy's gonna do that thing where he will fight three times this year, and like I think at 85 he didn't know 85 is not a weight cut for him, and I think if he gets through a couple of title defenses, like he did in his previous ones, with relative no injuries or bruises or anything, I think Izzy wants to just make as much money as possible, So I wouldn't be surprised. And now I think with international travel restrictions opening up, I mean, I'm assuming all the travel restrictions and quarantines, and the world will be semi-normal, that this will be possible. If it's like how it is now, with lots of quarantining and 2 weeks, all that stuff, maybe not. But if it's just regular like it used to be, I think we could see Izzy fighting three more title fights this year. Because they're loading up on title fights right now. I mean, I think they're gonna need him. Yeah, we'll see.
Right, that's true. That's very true. They will definitely need him. I also think, personally, I think they're loading up on these title fights now because they're going to have a pay-per-view in April or May or June that won't need a title on the top. But that's just me. Anyway, next question. Thank you for the questions, Trumbo. Good Lord. Bantamweight jumble from Andy Burton. You guys are coming in with full-on novels for these questions this time. What do you think the next matchups for Bantamweight, considering TJ and Cejudo teasing returns, although Cejudo is removed from the USADA testing pool? The mess that Aljo versus Jan and big names like Aldo and Garbrandt limiting options for people to enter the title picture. Here's my idea thoughts. Jan versus Sterling, UFC 262 or UFC 263. TJ Corey fought Garbrandt, Aldo Munoz, Cruz Edgar, Rivera Phillips, Moraes of Sun South 3, Marlon Vera versus Hani Barcelos, Merov versus Cody already booked. You also forgot Thomas Almeida and Sugar Sean O'Malley's booked in that division too. Jed, what are your thoughts on this individual's, Mr. Burton's, supposed lineup of bantamweight fights?
Sure. I know that I am the only man on this island. I really don't want Peter Yan to fight for the title next.
Are you and Kevin Aioli, huh? Are you the two ones that
I didn't actually read Aioli's thing. Mine is just that, like, I think Jan's loss is legitimate. And if you take everything else out of it, like, I don't like the fact that he's kind of being a dick.
That is the best part.
Yeah, that's why they're going to rebook it, or that's at least like part of it. But in general, I also just think if you look at his resume, like, it doesn't demand a title fight. Like, he has a lot of really good wins if it's 2016, but it's 2021. So, like, I just would like them to be like, hey, you did a – like, that is actually, I think, inarguably the dumbest thing anybody's ever done in a UFC title fight, including Weidman's stupid spinning heel kick and – like
John Jones kneeing Anthony Smith.
Yeah, because it's dumber because John Jones got away with it. Like, the outcome dictates that it's not as bad. Like, it's, you just shouldn't reward somebody for literally the stupid. Like, when the best case scenario,
I think,
is that I'm an idiot. Like, that's your best excuse.
But there's no reward. He lost the fight. He lost the title. And I still think he is the best bantamweight in the UFC. So he's the number one guy still.
I agree. He's the best bantamweight in the world. That has oftentimes had nothing to do with who gets to fight for titles. And just, like, I don't know, man. Like, I just kind of want them to set a precedent here. But, like, this was really, really stupid. You should have to fight somebody to get a title fight, because the
UFC set precedence. Come on now.
But I know they won't do it.
But I think, like, the president, he lost his title. The president, he got the DQ. That's the punishment. The punishment, he lost a crap load of money, and now he has to come as the challenger and, you know, make his measly, you know, whatever his non championship Reebok fight kit money is.
Venom, that's sir. What, the Reebok deal's over.
Oh yeah, it's Venom, bro. Get it. And that's not the UFC saying that anyway. That's like the commissions and the referee made those choices. The UFC were bystanders to it. Like, I just make him fight somebody. He didn't have to fight anybody to win the title. I'm as big a Jose Aldo fan as there is. But that dude, he didn't deserve a bantamweight title fight. They just kind of gave him a belt, and then they're just going to give him another crack at it. Granted, he was probably going to beat Aljamain Sterling, but he didn't. Like, it's a loss, and it's a legitimate loss. We don't see immediate rematches unless there's controversy or it's a longtime title like holder. He is neither. So, like, I know they won't do it. I just wish they would.
I think there was a lot of controversy. I think the fact that he was dominating the fight. You think probably going to win that fight if he doesn't throw that knee? You think Jan probably wins, or you think like 99 of 100 times he wins that fight?
Well, I think a vast majority of the times he wins the fight, but he also then just kneed the dude in the head ridiculously. Like, it was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in a title fight. There's no good explanation for it. And I don't think that it was, like, malicious, but I do just think it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And so you just kind of you made that bet. You got to line it, bro. Like, you shouldn't get a title fight. You lost in this title fight in a legitimate fashion. You need to get one more win. I don't think that's a lot to ask. Again, I know they're not going to do it, and it's fine, because he is the best bantamweight in the world. I just – it would be a lot cooler to me if they didn't.
I don't think at all. I think if they do Sterling versus anyone, then that's just going to – I mean
– that's going to make better business. Because Aljo should – lean into this super hard.
So you want Aljo to be like the play, like, be the heel? Like, like,
he should immediately anyway, because everybody's already treating him like he did something wrong, when again, he did nothing wrong here.
I'm not those people.
He should absolutely lean into it. Like, I know you're not, but like, he absolutely should just be like, I'm not fighting him. That dude's a cheater. Like, I'm not fighting TJ Dillashaw. That dude's a cheater. So is Peter Yan. I'll fight Corey Sandhagen. Yeah, it would be hilarious. It would be the funniest thing. And people would hate him, and then they would tune in to watch him lose to Peter Yan, or Peter, however, Piotr, I think that's it, whenever they did fight again. It'd be way better business, actually, for them to not run that back.
I don't like this guy.
I personally don't care who he fights next, because there's a long list of fighters I would sign up to see him fight. Aljamain Sterling has a lot of issues. Both Yan and Sterling have a lot of issues with Cody Garbrandt, too. Wouldn't be surprised if he gets thrown into this mix too.
They both got issues with TJ Dillashaw.
I think it's a little different. Like, TJ's issues with them is like, oh, you took steroids, this and that. Cody Garbrandt apparently said some things that Aljamain Sterling did not agree with based off of his race. And Yan, and we have that video of Yan and Garbrandt. This was apparently years ago, and this is something that Sterling has said. Well, this is something that Sterling has said, so we don't have any proof to back it up whatsoever. So I'm just going off of, and they might have made up in the future, but Sterling has said, like, I want to fight this man, not just because I hate him. And then we have the video of Yan and Garbrandt getting each other's faces after Yan decapitated his mentor in Uriah Faber's last fight. Anyway, I digress.
I wouldn't hate seeing Yan Garbrandt, though. Okay, I'll admit that.
I wouldn't hate seeing Yan versus anyone in the top five. Bantamweight's awesome.
Yeah, he should fight somebody ranked, because he's literally never done that. The one ranked, or he has Aldo questionably ranked, and Jimmy he's got Rivera. A loss to Sterling. Oh, I forgot he fought Jimmy Rivera 5 years ago.
Hey, man.
You're not wrong.
Ain't Yan's fight, everyone's ducking him? He's like.
He's a champion. Nobody ducks a champion.
They're all ducking him. I don't need to apply logic or reason to this.
I'm not even convinced Pure Young controls the social media. Yeah.
Is he even real?
Probably not. Big if true. Charles Oliveira, the odd man out for Matt Bradbury. Related to Ray Bradbury? I freaking hope so. With Beneil and Tony booked, McNuggets versus Poirier 3, Chandler versus Gaethje, and RDA versus Makhachev are most likely going to happen. Who will Oliveira face, since Dana is reluctant to give him a title shot, despite him being clear number one contender? Okay. Especially if Khabib fights again. Was it stupid of him to not take the Diaz fight, considering it's the best payday and biggest fight he can make? A few things to unpack. It's Tony versus it's Tony versus Beneil. Higher ranked fighter gets top billing. I don't think that is official yet. It's Poirier versus McNuggets. Chandler Gaethje isn't official. RDA has already said he'll only fight Islam Makhachev if he gets Khabib right after. And Charles Oliveira is apparently they're looking at Chandler versus Gaethje or Charles Oliveira. So none of these fights are official. And there's a lot of hearsay. But Jed, answer the last question: was it stupid of Charles Oliveira not to take the supposed Nate Diaz fight?
I mean, no, I just never believed that was a real fight for him to take.
Yeah, I agree.
I do believe the short notice Michael Chandler fight was like on the table, and that's still not a no. He shouldn't have ever taken that fight. Like, he's Oliveira is just going to be one of those dudes who has to sit around and wait for a title shot, because he'll get one if he just sits. Like, he will just get one because of the nature of his run right now. So lightweight's a little hectic, a little cluttered, unless he needs to fight because that's his job and he needs to make money. He should just hang tight, because at some point in the next year, he'll get called up for a title shot.
Yeah, and the Diaz fight was only because I think Nate did an interview and he said he would fight Charles Oliveira.
Nate says a lot of things.
Wanted it at welterweight, and Charles Oliveira said, no, I'm a lightweight contender. I don't want to go up and fight a welterweight.
Which is fair. I mean, if that fight was on the table, I will say it's probably dumb, because Charles Oliveira whipped the shit out of Nate Diaz. And so that up his profile a lot, and that would get him a title shot too. But, and he'd make a lot of money. But I just don't believe Nate Diaz saying I'll do something is by no means – a barometer of truth. So I'm going to believe that that fight was never really on the table.
Yeah, I agreed. There's a reason that our co-host Mike Heck, our colleague Mike Heck, uses Nate Diaz fights as his timestamps for MMA. He goes, the last time Nate Diaz has fought twice since Leon Edwards' last fight. There's a reason we use Nate Diaz as the hidden Bigfoot of the MMA landscape. Anyway, so yes, none of these fights are officially yet.
I think the most true part to this statement, to this question, is the headline. Charles Oliveira is the odd man out. Whatever happens, I think that's unless some weird short notice, like take a title fight within a week type of thing. Yeah, I don't see anything for Charles Oliveira. He just doesn't move. Like he has to. Unfortunately, this is prize fighting in the UFC. He has to do something stupid, like go to 170 to fight Nate Diaz or take a short notice fight. He has to, unfortunately, take a big risk because just his personality alone his personality and him just dominating and kicking everyone's ass isn't enough for a title shot in the UFC.
Mm-hmm. And Dana's already said he was interested in Gaethje Oliveira. So if they want to make that fight too, I'm fine with it. Justin Gaethje's also had some heated words for Charles Oliveira saying, you've beaten nobody. I already beat Tony Ferguson, and then you beat him, and you've not really fought anyone ranked. You fought Nick Lentz 3 times. Congratulations. So
the greatest trilogy ever.
What?
Ever? Yeah, ever.
Oh, greatest trilogy. Chad, can you name the 3 trilogies that have happened solely in the UFC and no fights have been for the title?
Spencer Fisher and Tommy. Give me a second. I'll come up with his name.
Sam
Stout. Yep. And Nick Lentz and Charles Oliveira.
There's one more.
Oh, there's a third one.
There's a third one, and the two men involved are so on another level of like – they are very famous fighters, I'll say.
Trilogy that didn't have a title involved in.
You have to go to the Dark Ages of UFC.
And it's like one of those. I don't even think it's Dark Ages. They're both very famous, and none of the fights were for a title.
I had nothing.
Tito Ortiz and Forrest Griffin.
Oh my! I would have never pulled that. Never in a million years. So I always forget that they fought a third time.
Yeah, that was Forrest Griffin's last ever fight.
The third was the most famous one.
Because he took the mic away and interviewed Tito.
I always conflate that with the second one because they should have fought a third time. Wow. Good trivia.
Anyway, can you name – hold on, one more question for Jed. After Diego Sanchez retires, he's obviously the longest tenured tough member in the UFC. After he retires – who becomes the longest tenured tough member?
Ed Herman?
Ed Herman was who I was going to say.
It is Ed Herman. Casey, we've asked this question to you before.
That's why I knew, yes.
Yeah. I also said another question for Jed. Casey's just, you know, look at me. It is Ed Herman.
To be fair, I was going to say Ed Herman, but that was entirely a guess.
Do you remember who was on his season of tough?
Didn't he end up losing to was Matt Brown in his season? Or is that a different one?
No, that was, I think, season 6. He was on season 3, I want to say.
It could have been 4 because 4 was the tough champion.
Redemption.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and then tough 5 was the lightweight one. So he was on season 3. He lost to Kendall Grove.
Kendall Grove.
He lost to Kendall Grove, and he was on. Do you remember who his coach was?
Not a clue.
The coaches that season were Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock. He was on Team Shamrock. The more you know.
That I'm old.
Shout out to Ed Herman, the only UFC fighter to make the jump over to Strikeforce to fight Jacare when they were trying to book cross-promotional fights.
Yeah. The only reason I was thinking about Ed Herman is because we were talking about Derek Brunson, and Derek Brunson, Ed Herman was in that 4 KO streak that we were talking about Brunson being on.
Ed Herman was supposed to fight Derek Brunson in Phoenix, and then I think Derek Brunson fell out. Ed Herman had his hands wrapped and ready to walk out. Something happened to him. Anyway. Yeah.
I got a lot of respect for Ed Herman because I think he's actually the slowest fighter who's ever competed in the UFC. Like he looks like he is walking through mud every time he moves, and yet he has had a 15-year career.
Sorry, he is on a 3-fight win streak in the year of our Lord 2021.
I know. Like I said, I have a lot of respect for Ed Herman because doing more with less is awesome in this sport.
You love to see it. I think the 3-fight win streak is his longest win streak in the UFC, too. Anyway, Scott McCrae, Monster Energy former photographer, corroborated Dominic Cruz's implications regarding Hans Mühlenkamp yesterday. Do you think anything will come of this for Mühlenkamp and or Monster Energy? So I can't remember the individual's name. Something Tate. He's a photographer. He lives in California, and he did a lot with Monster.
Courtney Hendo. Yeah, the photographer.
Courtney Hendo. That's it. Why did I say I don't remember. Anyway, Jay, what are your thoughts on this whole Monster Energy, Dominic Cruz, Hans Mühlenkamp situation?
So I saw the story about Hendo doing like a takedown of Mühlenkamp, and I was gonna click on it, and then I thought, I like myself and I don't want to spend any amount of my time diving into this because I don't care, and that's where I sit on that part of it. If Dominic Cruz's allegations are true, I know Monster is looking into them. I know Cruz has said he's spoken to I think like a junior VP or somebody in the exec committee for Monster, and that they are taking his allegations seriously. I hope that they do, because if it's what he says it is, that seems crappy. But other than that, I just don't really care about this one. And that maybe I should care more, but I don't. So, yeah, I'll say that Mühlenkamp seems like kind of a shady individual in some of his postings and stuff. But that's entirely hearsay, and maybe he's a delightful person. Like, I have no clue, and I'm probably not going to spend too much time figuring it out.
Casey, I'll reframe it to you like this, because Hans works and is around Southern California quite often. He's obviously done a lot with Strikeforce and Bellator and Scott Coker, who you've worked hand-in-hand with. You're also married to a photographer that lives in Southern California, so I am sure you have been at least in the same circles as Hans Mühlenkamp, or people that have dealt with Hans Mühlenkamp once or twice in their careers. Courtney Hendo is a photographer in Southern California too. So, what's your take on this whole scenario?
Give us the inside baseball, Casey.
First off, man, I love Dominic Cruz. He just had a good victory over a top-ranked prospect. And instead of coming out there in the mic and saying, you know, I'm ready for that title shot, thanks, I want to thank my coaches, I want to thank, you know, the man above, you know, I want to, you know, thank my training partners. Nope. He just came out and just did this total deep cut of this dude. And when he did it, I swear, everyone, if you work, like you said, if you're in Southern California, you know who Hans is. If you work with any fighters, I haven't talked to Hans in person in probably years, but I definitely like one degree apart from him. And I thought he was just trolling him. I thought this was like an inside viral marketing bit. So the whole time, but I was like, man, Dom Cruz, like he's a pretty cruel dude, but that was funny. But I really thought it was like a joke, but nope, it's serious. And as far as I know with fighters, I mean, yeah, they always talk, you know, they post photos of Hans or the Monster Energy thing. And I kind of always thought it was kind of, you know, good fun. But apparently there was some, you know, some issues behind the scenes. And if what Courtney says is true and if Dom says is true, that sucks. And I hope
Michael Bisping has also come out and backed up Dominic Cruz's comments about it, saying he lost his Monster Energy sponsor because he said him and Hans weren't friends. They were business associates, which apparently is a slight in this world. And then, of course, Angela Hill backed up Dominic Cruz, but Dominic Cruz is her teammate at Alliance, so obviously she would take Dom's side. But I think a few fighters now are coming out.
Because fighters don't want to come out because, like, they're sponsored by them. So, and they get, like fighting doesn't pay very well. Sponsorship does pay pretty decent. So
you don't get hit in the head for it too.
Yeah, you don't get hit in the head for it, and you know, and if all you have to do is take some funny pictures with some Monster employees every once in a while and hold some pads for them, sure. I think most of these fighters were kind of, you know, suck it up for, you know, that, you know, extra $5,000-$10,000 a month. But yeah, but I guess Dom makes enough money, so he got tired of it. I mean, he just got tired of it, and if that's how Dom wants to use his platform, you know, post a big victory on the main event on a giant pay per view. Sorry, on the prelims, right? He was the main event in the prelims for that pay per view. Yeah. So no, in actuality, I mean, more people saw that than the actual, you know, the actual pay per view probably. So Dom's a crazy guy. That's my story.
I have an important question. Jose, are we friends or are we work colleagues?
Ooh.
Hot seat.
Hold on.
We are. Would you consider Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen friends?
Yes.
Or are they rivals?
I feel like they're friends.
There you go. We're friendly rivals. We are friendly rivals. We are the pound for pound. We are the pound for pound 1A, 1B of Between the Links.
I'll take that. I'll accept those terms.
Aw. You guys. Once you get all vaccinated, you can give each other a big hug.
Seriously.
All right.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dude, no one's going to ask about eye pokes. How is this possible? I thought that was
I know. No one's asked about it.
Here,
I feel like Jed really wants to talk about eye pokes.
I don't really want to. I'm just prepared.
No, sorry. Is this one eye pokes?
Here we go. Because I'm sure Joe will have some thoughts about this. MMG 2K20 on the site, Cuddling the Fence. With UFC 261 being held in front of a full-capacity stadium of 15,000 fans, are you surprised the UFC chose Usman versus Masvidal, the headline, considering the fact that their first fight was not very fan-friendly? This fight could easily have both men cuddling on the fence for 25 minutes. Jed, your thoughts. You already said that you're not even interested in Usman versus Masvidal because it's going to be the same thing for five more rounds of 50-45. What are your thoughts on them choosing this as the headline for the first full capacity fight in more than a year?
I think it's actually really smart. I'm not sure why they're doing Jacksonville and not Miami, because I'm sure that there's a reason, and I probably just didn't pay attention to it. But doing it in Florida is, you know, they get to have fans. It theoretically, you can drive some Masvidal base there. And ultimately, they don't really care if this fight is boring. The point of the fight is to be interesting before they step into the cage. And then it's just a bonus if Masvidal like cold cocks Usman. Other than that, they're just trying to get views up. I assume that the line of thought here is this is our first event with fans. We want to have a marquee headline that's going to get people interested. But even if it's not like the best fight, people are still going to leave satisfied because they got to go to a massive sporting event for the first time in over a year. So I think it's actually like really smart. And if you go buy tickets to this, be prepared for 25 minutes of foot stomps.
Just looked it up. This will not be taking place in Miami, I'm assuming, because the Miami Heat have a game that day at home. So that arena is already booked in advance.
Makes a lot of sense.
What is the for the NBA right now, what is their audience as far as like what's their capacity? How is the NBA doing?
It's different team to team.
Is the city so to city like or is it team NBA. To team? What controls it? You know?
I assume a little bit of the city rulings have to do.
Yeah, it's got to be local governance in a lot of
cases. But even if it's, even like for the NBA in Miami, if the NBA, if they're allowed to have full capacity, I think it's up to the Miami Heat are not allowing full capacity. Yeah. So it's up to the team at that point. But they have the option of having a full capacity.
So
like,
why are these,
the NFL wanted, the NFL wanted, didn't the Texans have a full, want to have a full capacity game or wanted to have a full capacity game? And then WrestleMania is in Tampa this year, and they are going to have a lot of fans. I don't know if it's going to be full capacity, but that's what they want.
Yeah,
I bet it's full capacity.
Oh, man. Actually, I'm the one thing I thought the full capacity thing is really interesting to me because I keep thinking about the first fight and I really wonder how Usman Masvidal one looks different with, you know, 20,000 fans booing for basically 20 minutes of that fight. You know, since there was no boos, you know, during the actual fight, it was just, you know, empty arena. It felt different, but I'm kind of curious. I want to see how loud the boos can come back, because I think that's what we're expecting for this main event.
Usman strikes me as an individual who won't care much about fans booing.
Yeah, it'll give
the narrative. Like, the narrative would be so different, though. I think the narrative would be so different, like, because it would be the first time hearing just so many boos for a main event in a UFC. I think who's the most booed main event you can remember?
It's Adesanya Romero.
Oh yeah, that had to be bad.
Was that pretty? Yeah,
that was pretty loud at times. Yeah,
that fight was 100%. Awesome.
Not main event, but Derek Lewis, Ilir Latifi had some loud boos when Ilir was just holding him down.
Derek,
it was in Houston, big knockout artist. Ilir Latifi was just laying on him, which is fine. I'm not knocking the guy for choosing not to stand and strike with Derek Lewis. Anyway.
Oh, and just this commenter's his idea of cuddling is wild because I can't imagine. Yeah, which is a perfectly legit technique, and I'm always this isn't for today, but like I'm always so confused with the whole, you know, Bisping and DC. You just got to win the fight. Winning is the most important thing. Oh, you don't win like that. You know, you got to win exciting though. Like, Usman did exactly what he was supposed to in the first fight, and I expect him to do the same in the second.
What was the most booed main event in recent memory? Yair Rodriguez, Jeremy Stephens in Mexico. They were literally throwing trash into the octagon.
Oh, well, they were booing from excitement.
Oh, Brian Ortega was saying some. Brian Ortega said some very inappropriate things in Spanish too at Jeremy Stephens, but that was the whole crowd. Anyway, whiny welterweights from MMG 2K20. Okay, guys, since the top five welterweights were all holding out for a title shot versus Usman, and now Usman booked against Masvidal, how do we match up the rest of these divas? How about an old school pro wrestling beat the clock challenge? The quickest finish gets the next title shot. Wonderboy Chiesa for the nicest motherfucker title. Edwards Muhammad 2, Covington versus Burns. Jed, your thoughts on this beat the clock challenge?
I don't mind any of these matchups. The idea that Chiesa can't fight for the nice motherfucker title, and that's not a knock on Chiesa. He's a good dude, but his last like two callouts, he's been talking mad shit to Colby Covington. Like, he's even Wonder Boy, even when he's calling out Covington, is doing it in like the most respectful, happy way. Like, he's not an MF-er, so.
Yeah, if they're having an MMF title at welterweight, it would probably be between Wonderboy and Bilal Muhammad.
I think you gotta get Maya in there.
Yeah, I think Maya is the correct answer.
Yeah,
unless you're Anderson Silva, but that's deep cuts. So other than these fights,
Playboy, your Playboy.
Yeah, where's your jiu-jitsu now? Dude, none of these fights are ending in a KO, so this is a really bad beat the clock challenge.
You're not wrong. That's a good point.
Cards.
I don't know, man. I thought you don't think Edwards, if you know, if that fight would have continued.
I think he would have just been much better than Bilal Muhammad.
Just much better. Yeah, I mean, the fight kind of was going how I thought it was going till it. No, obviously it ended, but I expected a kind of a dominant 5-round decision from Edwards. No one even talked about it. Talked about this, but I thought Leon Edwards looked freaking awesome round one.
Yeah, dude, he looked really good. He's a really good fighter.
Yeah, I mean, I knew he was good, but like in my mind, I just couldn't remember his fights about, you know, going to Fight Pass and watching all the old ones. I'm just trying to remember him, but like I was like, dang, he just looked another. You know, there are levels in this game, and Bilal Muhammad is a really good fighter, but Leon Edwards looked like an elite, ready for a championship fight. But
yeah,
MMA happens.
I would love to see Leon Edwards rematch Kamaru Usman. Pretty sure Usman wins, but like that's the kind of actually like really good title fight that Masvidal can't give Usman. Like he just doesn't have that in him. But we're not going to get it. So
I'm going to get it.
It's a shame.
John Malkin on Twitter: is the main reason we are getting Usman Masvidal 2 because they will be getting money from a paying crowd? Yup. Have any fighters signaled they aren't getting normal pay because of no fans excuse from Dana? Not yet.
And that would be bad business if they came out to the press and said, hey, I'm not getting paid enough. Because that never works out well for fighters.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean,
Jessica.
Theoretically, at this point, Connor could be getting a piece of the door. Like, I don't know that that's true. I don't know if you guys do, but like theoretically, if I'm him, I would be negotiating that. So with the whatever 257 or whatever it was in January, like theoretically he lost money as a result of that, but nobody's come out and said anything.
I think he made off pretty well.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
I think his disclosed purse is astronomically smaller than what his actual purse is. It's in another hemisphere.
Well, if Connor made out well, then the UFC made out much better than Connor, though.
For sure,
they always make 100%.
Out better. 100%.
House always wins.
Jessica Nappi, Crystal Crew. Has she asked a question before?
No.
Well, she's usually just shout out to Crystal.
Jibber jabbing in the comments, but look at this.
Jibber jabbing.
Yeah.
What a word. Jessica Nappi from the Crystal Crew. About 261. Presumably, most of the crowd won't be vaxxed yet. But would you, as media or fans, want to go if they're fully vaxxed, even though rest of crowd hasn't been? Or would you feel different about the event altogether if they were requiring proof of vax for crowd? So, Jed, we were talking online before. We were talking over this before we went live. It's going to probably be one of us in Jacksonville, if not both. What are your thoughts on this full crowd capacity in the arena?
I feel like it's a horrible idea, and there's just not really going to change my mind. The idea, it would be cool if they required proof of vaccination, but that's not realistic. As a media member, it feels a little different because you can isolate much better than you can as like a fan. That's why it's not like a big concern for me to go or whatever. I feel like I can take the necessary steps to be relatively safe. There's a 0% chance I would go to this if I was just like a fan in Jacksonville.
When I went to Jacksonville last May for the first string of pandemic fights, downtown Jacksonville, for whatever you want to call downtown Jacksonville, everything was closed still. So I don't know what the vibe would be like in Jacksonville with it open. I don't know how many people are walking around because I had no way to know. And even the places that were open, all the food was to go. You couldn't sit down and eat yet still because it was still very early on in the pandemic. So I have no idea. But like Jed said, and Casey's obviously, you know, too, when you go to fights, you can sit in a media room. I can confidently say if Jacksonville is wide open and there's no actual bubble, because I would imagine there'd be a bubble, because the last time I went to Fight Island, Abu Dhabi was open, but we were still put in a bubble because they didn't want fighters to get COVID. If there's no bubble, I'm not going to leave the hotel. I got that as my own choice. I don't know if the UFC is going to book the entire hotel. I have no
idea.
That's
a safe way to go about Jacksonville in general.
I'd say, like, there's two things. There's a few things in Jacksonville. There's a lot of bridges, and there's knives everywhere. I found a box of knives under an overpass in Jacksonville.
Chicago is known for the soup. Jacksonville is known for bridges and knives.
Yeah, as you do.
Look on Wikipedia.
It really does have a lot of bridges.
Oh, man. Like, when the hotel we stayed at, I could look in any direction and see a different toll bridge or what do you call it,
drawbridge?
What are the bridges? Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Drawbridge. Thanks.
I'm not drawbridge. That's the word.
Yeah, drawbridge. Man, bridge so, talk. I love it.
Bridges.
So I went to UGA, as you guys know, and every year the Georgia football, Georgia Florida game takes place in Jacksonville, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And it's just not a great city. Like, it's not a bad city, but all of my thoughts about it are really grimy. So staying in the hotel is a good call.
I would say that with anywhere in Florida, really. I'm not a big Florida fan.
I was born in Jacksonville. I was born in Jacksonville.
That makes a lot of sense.
I lived there for a few years as a kid, and then I spent my summers in Daytona, which is a few hours south. So
that's somehow an even worse location than Jacksonville.
Yeah, I know Central Florida. So yeah, I'm very southern.
To be fair, that was like 80 years ago, so the city's not the city.
Yeah. Everything was good in Florida 80 years ago. Central Florida, that was the place to be. You guys are jerks. But you know what? But just heads up, if you guys are going, I'm kind of surprised UFC hasn't talked about this yet. Like, but how are they going to handle like weigh-ins and things like that? Because like are weigh-ins going to be like the old weigh-ins? Because you talk about, you know, you can kind of, the media can kind of separate themselves from the big crowds, but not during weigh-ins. You kind of, the media is basically sitting with the fans. And
yeah.
I'm not even because I know full capacity events are coming. I just thought they were coming more toward end of the summer. So I just thought this was super soon. But have there been any like CDC or any disease experts that say, oh, we're good to go now?
I would be extremely doubtful. Some of the other statements that have been made.
Yeah, because everything I'm reading is like just the opposite. Like, oh, we almost got it, guys. But if we F up now, we kind of have to start all over again, though. So, yay. Oh, man. I can't get into this right now.
I'm surprised Dana is going after. I thought for sure he would try to get this last pay-per-view in, because he forever was like, we're going to be the first. We're going to be the first. Now – WrestleMania is the week before, so WWE will be the first.
So that will be full, is the week before? And that's gonna be full capacity.
There's like at least 20,000 people. The last I heard that are going.
This has to be the biggest for an indoor venue. Is Tampa gonna be outdoor?
Probably. It's at the Buccaneers Stadium.
Okay, which is not a dome though. I don't know what the Buccaneers playing.
No.
Okay, I just found out Tampa Bay has a football team like last year. I didn't even know this, but
That's Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just opened up, you know, my liberal website I go to or whatever, liberalnews.com, and then like Tampa Bay's got a football team was the headline.
Good website. good one. I have a good part.
Casey stopped watching football when the great Vince Lombardi retired.
When the Oilers became the
Titans.
Titans. Yeah. But they were the Tennessee Oilers for a season, I think, and then I was kind of into them, but no, then I gave up.
Reaction to the fight circus news from Susanna Fights on Twitter. What fight circus news?
They have a third event. It's called Fisting for Dollars. I think April. They dropped a promo yesterday.
Hold on. What is the name of it?
Fisting for Dollars. I asked John Nutt why they named it that. John Nutt, the like maestro of the whole thing.
As you do, I don't know who John is. So,
John Nutt is like the maestro of fight circus or whatever, the Full Metal Dojo guy. And I was like, hey man, why didn't you name this? Because I thought they did like fight circus, and then fight circus 2 was circus harder. And so then I thought they'd be like Fight Circus with a Vengeance or something along those lines. And then they came out with Fisting for Dollars. And he was just like, we just thought it was funny. He's not all the way wrong. So.
Is it going to be a cowboy themed fight somewhere in there? Right? Because no, I'm sure they're using their mocking fist for dollars.
All headbutt fight? I think.
So there's I'm not entirely sure how much of this is like promo versus how it'll actually be, because it was made unclear in the promo. But they had a wheel of violence and it just had like different fight outcomes, and they would spin it. And on that, there was an all headbutts fight, which I'm obviously extremely psyched for. But yeah, I just imagine you're going to get a lot of the traditional fight circus fare, some tag 2-on-1 matches, some Indian leg wrestling, kicking only fights, a lot of great quality family fun entertainment.
A guest appearance from Peter Yan?
No, the guest appearance will be from Bob Sapp. That's almost guaranteed. So.
I would love a fight if it's spin and each fighter gets one set of tools to use. Weapon. Like if that I fought Jed awesome. And Jed can only throw left hooks and I can only throw leg kicks.
I would do that immediately. It would be the funniest thing in the world.
Right. So, like I don't want two guys throwing headbutts. I want one guy throwing headbutts and one guy only can throw front body kicks.
I'm for this. I'll talk to John. Like, hey, John.
I'll talk to John, he says. If they're mocking Fistful of Dollars, I expect some sort of fight with men in cowboy outfits. Like full on spurs and everything.
They should.
Let me answer that one. Can we answer this one?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, yeah, we did. That was like the first
one. Oh, here's a story.
UFC's Thought Process, another novel from Tristan Gordet. Thoughts on Akili's story of the Korean Zombie considering moving up to lightweight due to inactivity. What's interesting is that the UFC won't allow Sung Jung. Wow, I've never heard anyone refer to the Korean Zombie as Sung Jung before. That caught me off guard. To fight anyone outside the top 10 in rankings. What's your theories on the UFC's thought process here? I mean, they could have matched him up against Jeremy Stephens, but he's fighting Jakar Close or Shane Burgos, but decided to match him up against Barboza. Not going to lie, I think Barboza versus Chan Sung Jung would have been insane. Most likely, it looks like Korean Zombie will match up against Dan Ige, since Ige called him out after his fight against Tucker and is ranked 8th in the division. It's a lot to unpack, but thought process on Korean Zombie not being able to find a fight and debating moving up to lightweight, Jed.
It's super weird because you should just let that dude fight as often as he wants. We already got several of his prime years taken away from us, so if he wants to fight every other weekend, it's not like he's boring. Like, let that man go. So Oliveira would have been dope. Like, the Dan Ige fight would be dope. Like, you can't go wrong with a Korean Zombie fight. So the original, like, hardcore action fighter.
There was a stretch of time where I think it's Justin Gaethje, like, recently, I think you could put on that same pedestal. But there was a point in time where I think the Korean Zombie was the most exciting fighter in the history of MMA. He had fight of the year against Leonard Garcia, got head kicked by George Roop, still a crazy fight until he got head kicked. First twister submission of the year, knocks out Mark Hominick in 7 seconds in Canada, has another fight of the year against my favorite fight ever, Korean Zombie versus Dustin Poirier, and he gets a flying knee into a Darce choke off the fence, and then he fights Aldo on like short notice and tries to push his arm back into place in the middle of a fight. I think there was a point in time where I still think that stretch of time before his like that 2-year stretch before he went off to do his military thing, there's never been a more exciting fighter in MMA history than the Korean Zombie right there.
I would argue that point just because I think Gaethje now, or like Gaethje
maybe
2 years ago, was the more.
I was going to say, let's go 10 fights in the UFC. If someone with 10 fights, which Korean Zombie has, minute for minute, he's the most exciting fighter for someone.
Him or Gaethje?
No, 10. Gaethje. Is Gaethje has 10 fights in the UFC?
I think it might be right at 10.
Okay. Well, regardless, I think both those guys are like kind of 1A and 1B, you know, as far as like just pure excitement.
Yeah. If
you're Tony's another one, too.
Who?
Tony. He's been in some, like, outside of that Charles Oliveira fight lately, he's been in some bangers.
Tony. The reality is, Connor is that like, if you take all the outside cage stuff, like, Connor's in cage product is that. I mean, right there, you're talking about 4 of the 8 most exciting fighters ever, like throwing Robbie Lawler and who else could make that. I mean, yeah, but that's my stance.
Actually, I was gonna say if we're gonna be second for second, just action, win or lose, I would say Ronda Rousey.
Because remember when
there was zero downtime, even in her losses.
Yeah. you're like, what is going to happen here? Like, she could win it in 5 seconds. She's already been
way more entertaining in her losses because she just runs on the right hand.
Yeah.
God. Justin Gaethje's had 8 UFC fights. But he's not had any easy fights at all.
Dude, no, he said he also before Khabib, he had I guess 7 fights, right? He had 9 bonuses in 7 fights.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Yeah, and they weren't like legit. They weren't like kind of like BS. You know, what I mean, like they gave a lot of BS ones. Like every single one he got was legit.
Like in 2017, he had he had Michael Johnson and Eddie Alvarez back to back. Like, which fight is better?
Yeah,
they're both crazy. And then the next fight was Dustin Poirier, and that's another one here. And then what did he do? What did he do to that? He just rattled off a couple of knockout victories in all in the span of like one round. Dude's a monster. Shout out to Safford, Arizona. Jed's hair be giving me Bon Jovi vibes. Wow. That is a compliment.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, man.
I'm sure.
Casey, what was it like watching Bon Jovi live the first time ever in 1971?
I'm not into hair metal. Hair metal, come on, man.
Yeah, you're not into hair metal now, but obviously when everyone else in your college years back in the 60s were getting into it, you probably got into it too.
No, I was listening to Hawkwind, you know, it's like not like a prog rock, you know, man. Don't hair metal, come on, man.
Were you one of those guys that stayed up late to watch the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Not a Beatles fan.
Oh, come on.
I'm not. I go Stones over Beatles any day. Stones put out
Casey's
way too much crap.
Casey's not a Beatles fan because he remembers when they broke onto the scene in America and kind of took over the airwaves, and he got a little burnt out of it. Kind of like how we don't really get into a lot of the pop now. Casey felt that way when the Beatles first broke in. So
okay, I can see that. I'll accept that. Really not going to talk about this iPoke because
we didn't get one question.
Someone asked us
about the iPoke.
From Joseph Boza in the YouTube comments, I see it right now. Fans were pissed about Leon versus Bilal ended in no contest. Leon should have been disqualified. Why did fans want Bilal to win by disqualification? We're going to use this to talk about the iPoke. Jed, a few questions. First, initial thoughts on the iPoke. Second, should this have ended in a disqualification?
100% it should have ended in a disqualification. I'm excited because I'm pretty sure Casey doesn't agree with me on this, and I'm very excited to have this discussion because, like, dude, you're in charge of your weapons. Like, what is the point of having rules if they're not enforced? Like, in any other sport, it doesn't matter whether you intentionally foul somebody or not. If you clock somebody while they're going to the rack, you get penalized for it.
But there's different penalties, though. That's the thing.
How was Leon Edwards penalized? Like,
the fight ended. He lost half his check.
Two men went into that kid. You know who else lost half his check? Bilal Muhammad.
He wasn't getting that other check, and that fight continued.
One of them did nothing wrong, though, and the outcome is the same for both. Like, that's just insanely dumb. Like, if you commit a foul that ends the fight, intentional or not, you should be disqualified. In the same way that if you commit a foul, intentional or not, if the fight continues, you should have a point deducted from you. Like, you just don't have to foul somebody. And we can talk about the gloves, and sure, enough people say it, I'm confident that the gloves aren't optimal, but, like, the gloves aren't the reason Leon Edwards gouged an eye. Like, he put his hand out like this.
And Muhammad was coming in, and that's what happens in this sport. It's like, it's just unfortunate because they make the stupid gloves that are like, basically like they're – that's why they have to break him in because the hands naturally stick out.
In any other way. Like, he's in charge of his weapons. Like, you know what you can do? You cannot extend your fingers into a dude's eye. Like, it doesn't – If that was made like an automatic loss, fighters would be way better about it almost immediately. And in like a year, nobody would do it. But it's not. And the worst case scenario is he's going to get a no contest, which just sucks for Bilal Muhammad. Like, it sucks for Leon Edwards, too. I'm not saying that this is a good outcome for him. But Leon Edwards did something wrong. Bilal Muhammad did nothing wrong, and they are both treated exactly the same as a result of this, and that's just trash.
Like, I think it's accidental strike.
Dude, if we are at a red light and you accidentally step on the gas and rear end me, it's still your fault. But it's not murder.
It's not murder. It's like I don't go to jail for it.
No, it's but just you like, have to pay the damages for what happened. Like Leon Edwards doesn't. The damage costs were split by him, Bilal Muhammad. It's just like it makes no sense to me why fouling isn't a disqualification.
And then, like, it's still the same crap. The fight's over, though. That's why I hate the show win the show win thing, because now you know what the big winner was, the UFC. They saved a bunch of money.
I agree. The show win bonus is really dumb.
I think that is a giant, big, even just as much of an issue. Is that the only reason we care about the DQ thing?
No, I think no contest should never exist. Like, a no contest should be restricted to. Like, after the fact, the outcome got overturned because of a drug test or whatever, or, like, a fan hops the fence and knocked out Bilal Muhammad, then that's a no contest. But a contest happened, one dude cheated, and then they were just saying, call it a wash.
I don't think it's a cheat. I don't think that's cheating.
I want to point out
that's why we have the word accidental.
Jed's reasoning of whether it's a disqualification or not, if they were more like, who was it? Alderman Sterling said it. Was it Alderman Sterling? Because he wanted rules more, and he wants the penalty to be an actual thing. Because if you're not going to get a point taken away for a low blow, why wouldn't anyone just run across the cage and just kick you in the junk immediately?
Well, I've always
you're
said that.
You're going to get a warning.
I've always said,
right.
Yeah.
So whether I don't know, I don't care if it's disqualification or not, because rules are rules. There should at least be a point deduction.
But that's the thing, you got to carry that logic through. Because if there's a point deduction in the fight, when the fight continues, then it wouldn't make sense for that to, the fight doesn't continue, no contest. Like, one dude did something wrong and one dude didn't. It's super crystal clear to me.
I think it also matters, like, because if not, we've seen a million eye pokes. They don't, more often than not, don't end the fight. If it's an eye poke and you can keep fighting, then yeah. Take the point away for the first offense, because then it won't. Second time, take another point. Third time, that's a wrap. But I don't like Herb Dean warns a lot, but doesn't do anything. Who's the ref that took away a point like immediately? He's been doing it more.
Maybe might have been Mark Smith, but I don't know. But the point you're talking about, the lady that fought Montana De La Rosa.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Which I disagree. I thought that fight has just been reset in that position for like a fence grab like that. You just reset them like where they would have gone down, and then no point deduction. For the fence grab. I know that now we're talking about fence grabs. It's something different.
No, but I agree with that, because fence grabs don't compromise the other fighter. It compromises the position, so you just give the position up. Like, I'm 100% on board with you on that one.
But I think the big problem is the penalty, though. 1 point is so freaking gigantic in this sport. It's so – especially in a three-round fight. Well, that was a three-round fight, but you get a point. I really just wish there were half-point deductions.
Like, but if they're enforcing that unilaterally, then I think it minimizes that being big anyway. And also – just don't do it.
It is impossible. It is like eye pokes happen all the freaking. I think most eye pokes, like fighters go right through them.
He fought 29 times. He never committed a foul.
He's the greatest fighter. That's why Leon Edwards isn't the pound for pound great.
Okay, be better. I demand.
Everyone be as good as Habib Nurmagomedov. Habib. Like, I haven't said his name in a while. I forgot to say that. I would say his dang name.
But
there are dozens, hundreds, thousands of fighters who don't poke people in the eye. Like, I know that you want to gauge your range like this. Just don't do it or live with the consequences, man. Same with Peter Yan's knee. Like,
and he got DQ'd. Like,
I know.
That was the punishment. Yeah. Should Bahal be like ranked higher than Leon Edwards now? Should he go up in the rankings now? Because
he should have gotten a just win because he didn't cheat.
It ain't cheating.
I mean, if you consider cheating a spectrum, it's certainly closer to cheating than it is to being good. he committed an illegal act.
Man, but just think how many fights it would have been, like, just the landscape of MMA history, even recent UFC history, if we just fights ended on eye pokes like that, or, I don't know, just point deductions. I think back of Stipe DC, when the eye poke that wasn't seen, and DC Stipe 3. You know how the ref didn't believe DC got poked in the eye when he clearly did, and how it just totally changed the fight. I don't know. It's like I'm kind of going back in history a little bit, but it's just I'm still upset about that.
Like, you, as we all should be, but like, I just think if you do this, eye pokes, like, all fouls drop dramatically. If first offense isn't as a point, and if the fight can't continue, then you get a loss. Like, I think fighters will just have to immediately be like, oh, I need to actually be aware of the weapons I'm choosing to employ and how I use them. Cool. Got it.
I know a lot of commissions and promoters are afraid if we start doing that, like automatic point deductions, then basically they feel same reason, like, they're afraid of open scoring, you know, because, like, well, people are going to coast. It's like, are people going to fake injuries, fake light groin shots, fake light eye pokes to get that point, you know? So,
I mean, I think that argument has always seemed weird to me, because the inverse works correctly as well. Like, well, are fighters just going to poke people in the eyes because they don't get penalized for it? And I'm not sure that that's what we see happening, but there are some particular fighters who sure do seem to make a habit of digging their fingers into people's eyes. So I'm not willing to say that they aren't making a conscious choice to say, yeah, I'm not trying to poke him in the eye, but if I do, I get a benefit and I'm not going to get penalized for it. Like, you just got to trust that the referee can do it, do their job, that's a big leap of faith with some people. Certainly.
I think the penalties are too harsh. That's why they won't do it, because we don't have, like, in football, you have a 5-yard penalty, a 20-yard penalty, I don't know, whatever, 15-yard penalty, you know, a full 40-yard penalty for pass interference. You know, you have different penalties, you know, but there's only one penalty. Well, I guess two penalties, DQ and point off. I really wish there were half points. Like, if Deion did that first eye poke and the ref conceded that it was a reckless eye poke, because the problem is that there are legit accidental eye pokes where, like, fighters are moving in. Accidental groin shots. There's completely accidental groin shots. There's completely accidental, like, illegal shots all the time. Because the fighters are moving when the strike is thrown. Like, fights that you can't hit a fighter after the bell.
The intent was to throw a strike. That strike landed illegally. I know that their intent was not to throw an illegal strike, but the intent was there to throw the strike. If Leon Edwards tripped on the canvas and when he flailed his arms out, jabbed a finger into Bilal Muhammad's eye, sure, that's unintentional. But he didn't. He reached his hand out and it happened to poke him in the eye. Like, you got to be responsible for your weapons, my dude. Like, that's it.
That was the second eye poke too, right, in that fight?
Yeah, because he got warned in the first round.
Yeah. Moral of the story for the next fight circus, eye pokes and low blows only fight. Let's make it happen.
Dude, low blows only. That's the sport of kings right there.
One fight.
Oh, wait, you need to see now? Wait. Oh, like, you're not man enough to lose an eye?
All right, here's the thing. One fighter gets kicked in the junk right away. The other fighter gets poked in the eye. The winner determines which fight turns into a DQ. From that point on, like, we just settle it there. Which fight, which ending is a disqualification? Eye pokes or low blows? We have a perfect way to figure out which one is more debilitating.
You guys are sick. You guys are sickos.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, you don't have to fight in the fight circus.
It's too hard.
Yeah. Fisting for dollars, guys. Fisting for dollars.
Anyway, we've gone 30 minutes over. We had any more questions, Casey?
Hell no.
We've talked a lot. It's been a joy to watch Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless yell at each other over eye pokes on the show now.
Who's who? Either way, I'm going to be offended.
Anyway, moving on. I'm Jose Youngs. Jed, of course, what do you want to say before we sign off from the A side?
I think we all know who's Stephen A and who's Skip here. Other than that, I got nothing. Thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
Casey, are you Stephen A or Skip?
Blasphemy! Is that what he says?
That's not enough syllables.
Blasphemous and misses. Blasphemous.
Yeah, you got to make up words and use some tomfoolery. Oh, no. You know what you have
he
to say?
He gave up.
No. If you're Stephen A., if you're Stephen A., you have to say, I just spoke with Leon Edwards yesterday for 42 minutes. We're very good friends. Then if you start off your sentences like that, you're Stephen A. all the way. Anyway, I've been Jose. That's Jed. That's Casey. We'll be back normal time next week. Hopefully, I'll be in Las Vegas for UFC 260. 260. We're out.
UFC 260? Blasphemous.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.